From the Edwin V. Johnson Newsroom, WHAV presents the Open Mic Show with Jack Bevilacqua. Make your voice heard. Call 978-374-1900. That's 978-374-1900 or email jack@whav.net.
Welcome back to the Open Mic. I'm Jack Bevilacqua. We're here with radio personality Phil Christie. He'll be here until the top of the hour. We're having a whole lot of fun here talking about old-time radio in New York and New England. And Phil, you were on the radio for many years. We have a rare photo of you here in a, I took this radio job. Then they decided to put a TV camera in here. They really fouled me all up. Here's a picture of Phil Christie, one of the original disc jockeys. And as you can see from the photo, it's Phil Christie in a rented jockey suit that they got over at Hooker Howe Costume Studio over in Bradford. And he used to do something called the All Request Dancing Party. So somebody must have used to request the songs.
No, not really.
No? Okay, that was like false advertising.
Leave it open.
Okay. Now, it says a Lou Sargent entry in the People's Popularity Poll. Who was Lou Sargent?
He ran WHAV.
Oh, he did?
Yep.
Okay, and you started doing this dance program at WHAV when you were like 15 or something?
Oh, no, much older than, probably 18.
Oh, but you used to live in Andover.
Right.
How'd you get to Haverhill?
Well, I didn't have a car, so I had to take the train from Andover to Haverhill. And then that was to do one show on Saturday. And the show started like at, was it 8 o'clock, and it went to midnight.
Right, yeah.
And then I couldn't get a train back at midnight.
Oh.
They didn't run trains to Andover, so my father came and picked me up.
Oh, okay. That's a bit of
once a week, so I could get the experience.
Okay, that's where you got your start, and you went to WBZ, WHDH. Anybody who's been around for a while knows that HDH and BZ back in the day were the biggest stations in New Orleans.
They were indeed.
And that was the place to be. Then you went to Bridgeport and to WNEW. Where is that? Is that New York?
NEW is right in downtown New York.
Well, okay.
It was.
So that was a pretty good gig for you, right? New York City?
Yeah, it was very prestigious. I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to work in New York for the huge audience. And the best I could do was to get an all-night Saturday job, like working all night Saturday, the all-night shift in New York.
You must have been, playing music?
Yeah.
And people didn't call in back then, so.
No, we didn't have call-ins, but there were a lot of people. I knew there were people listening in the city of 8 million people.
That's right. You must have got, like, big bucks for that gig, I would think.
Nope.
No. Okay. I keep trying. Gee whiz. Okay, you got a black belt in karate, and your daughter in there, who's hiding, has a black belt in karate.
Yep.
Does she do radio, too? I hope not. I got some competition.
Well, we all have good voices. I've already told her. she should think about it. But
yeah, that's right. She can go on the show, do a show after me. Ralph Hall, and I get the biggest kick out of the weatherman being the custodian.
Yeah,
but nobody else did weather. I wonder why. You think that would be a popular item?
Weather came. The only weather we ever got was over the news wire, and it never pertained to the Haverhill area.
So how are you supposed to know if it snowed or going to snow? I guess you just kind of guessed.
You didn't do it.
You just didn't do it.
Nobody talked much about the weather.
Okay.
I remember Don Kent one time at WBZ. He had an office that was, when he would come into the studio, he would come in and say he didn't have an outside window, and he would ask me if it was snowing out.
So
you didn't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah, you don't say it's not snowing if it's snowing. So Don Kent, an institution in New England, was on the television for many, many years.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that you knew Bob Crane. You knew Captain Hogan from Hogan's Heroes. And just tell us that story again, would you please? I think it's very interesting.
Bob Crane?
Yeah.
He was a phenomenally funny guy, a creative guy, and he built a radio show in Bridgeport, Connecticut, that was listened to all the way into New York. I mean, he was beating out the competition all the way down toward New York. He was that creative and impressive a guy, And what more can I say? He was discovered, so to speak. They wanted him to go out to Hollywood, do a show at WKNX.
And nobody ever calls me and wants me to go to Hollywood.
No, but he got the offer, and he went. But he didn't want to leave the radio station he worked for in the lurch, so to speak. He built up a lot of accounts. He built up a lot of business around his name. So I was flattered that he handpicked me, of all people, to come and keep it going.
So where were you? You were at another station back then.
In New Haven, WNHC.
So how did that work? Did the guys in New Haven get upset at the people in Bridgeport?
No, they
for stealing
really,
you?
No, they don't. They don't really talk to each other. I don't know. It just seemed like two different marketing areas.
You better watch out, Tim. Somebody's going to steal me. anyway. Who? So I know. Tim is promising that somebody steals me. But anyway, hoping that somebody steals me. But you were telling me when we weren't on the air that people would have these radio names like Joe Blow or something, and that the name was owned by
Johnny Dark.
Johnny Dark was owned by the station.
Well, after a while, they made it that because the guy would leave and take the name with him.
Yeah,
but this way they couldn't take the name.
So you didn't. So you could call yourself Joe Schmo, but you couldn't like move the name to somewhere else.
No, you had to leave it with some station did that.
Well, Mr. Christie,
imagine him a name like Mark LeMay. Who'd want to take that name anyway?
Well, another name from the Merrimack Valley would be Bruce Arnold.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arnold, his real name is not Bruce Arnold.
Oh, no, we know that. Yeah.
It's Arnold Salvucci.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And the story behind his name is there was already they wanted to call him Lou Arnold, but there was already a Lou working at the radio station. His name was Lou Marcel.
Right. Yeah. Lou Marcel. I was there then.
Yep.
Right.
At WLLH.
Right.
And at CCM. And the manager at the time said, you know what? We can't have two Lous on the radio, so you're going to be Bruce. And that's how he got his name, Bruce Arnold. So the story behind the names are kind of interesting, but it was really random. It was the name of the day, from what Bruce told me in his story. It was like whatever was popular names in the time. So Bruce was popular because at the time it was, you know, Cousin Brucey out of New York, and Lou was popular for whatever reason, and Lou Marcel was already a big name over at CCM, and they said, well, you were going to be Lou Arnold, but then they said, no, we're going to make you Bruce Arnold. And 50-some-odd years later, it still sticks.
There's some guy down at WNBP who's been there for like 50 years. I forget his name. There used to be all these little community radio. There was stations in Lawrence, Lowell, Gloucester, Newburyport, Haverhill. And now those don't exist. Well, some exist, but most of them are just piped in from somewhere else. Very little local production. And that's never going to come back, I don't think.
The names were funny. At WHDH, when you came in, the program director wanted the honor of baptizing you a name, no matter what it was.
Really?
And I remember one guy, I can't think of his name now, but he hired one guy, and he was an MIT kid, and he put him on at night, and he gave him a name, and the next guy he hired walked in and said, what's your name? And he gave the same name as this guy had, his real name. So he was really in a quandary about it. He said, well, we have to change that. And this is a typical program director. I wish I could think of
one. No one ever said program directors were smart.
No. Do we have one here?
Yeah, it's Tim.
Oh.
I'm sorry. No one ever said program directors weren't smart.
Tim is the program director. Okay.
How long have I been working here, not counting tomorrow?
We don't know. Working? That poor guy has to make up the news, and I don't know where he gets it. But now, you never did news, correct?
Sure, we had to rip and read news.
Rip and read, but you never went out, like, on the scene reporter.
No.
You didn't?
But we had some funny news to rip and read when I worked for for WNEW. They were owned by the New York Daily News.
Oh, my God. And it's kind of like...
At one time, they sent the news from their newsroom, and it had to be read verbatim on the radio because they owned it, WNEW. And they wrote it the way the paper is written.
And that doesn't always work out.
Well, I found myself saying, you know, the cops grabbed three hoods in Brooklyn. I mean, I went to school to learn how to speak English. And
No. If you're still reading the Daily News, you're not reading English. Okay, time for the latest news here at WHAV. I want to thank Phil Christie for coming into the station tonight. And it's been an honor and a privilege. So we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Okay. Jack Bevilacqua and the Open Mic will be right back. Get in on the action. Call 978-374-1900 or email jack@whav.net. If you are enjoying this program, please consider making a donation right now. Your donations to not-for-profit WHAV helps keep these vital community services on the air. Donating online is easy. Simply visit www.whav.net and click on the donate button.